Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 1 as we read another part of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
There were 14 generations between Father Abraham and King David. 14 more generations between David and the Babylonian exile. And 14 generations later, the great king would be born. A 2,000-year lineage comprised of slaves and kings, heroes and adulterers, prophets and prostitutes. They were the faithful and the faithless. So what kind of king would this be? While many dreamed of the day this king would come, it began as a real-life nightmare for one man. A good man, God's lot cast upon him.
Joseph. I promise you, Joseph, I am telling you the truth.
I'm not saying you don't believe it. I'm just saying I don't know if I do.
So, what are you saying?
Take her as your wife.
She's pregnant! I haven't been with her! The baby's not mine!
Take Mary as your wife.
I can't do this! I don't
want to hurt her. But I can't. I'll divorce her.
Joseph, you are a descendant of David. Your ancestors have taken great steps of faith, and now it is time for you to step out. Take Mary as your wife.
But the baby is...
What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It is prophecy fulfilled. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
God with us. Emmanuel.
Messiah.
A dream. A heavenly visitation. And what was distressing became a blessing. A blessing that would challenge Joseph's faith. demand every ounce of his character, and forever alter the course of his life and yours.
God with us.
What kind of king would this be?
Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday was Zacharias, who was called to prepare. Last week it was Mary, who was called to provide. Today we look at the life of Joseph, and the call on his life is to protect. What it took for Joseph to protect may also be what it takes to find joy in your life. It is a call to joy, a call to protect, the call of Christmas. The call of Christmas demands a righteous life. The call of Christmas is to prepare. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was betrothed to Joseph, much more than our engagement today to be married. These two were considered to be married. And when Joseph found that Mary was with child, she was pregnant, Joseph considered what to do. He only knew one thing for sure, and that child was not his. Because the marriage, it says, had not been consummated. They had not come together. And so his decision was to send her away secretly, privately, quietly. He would divorce her. But he would do it as privately and as covertly as possible. I believe that he loved her. Again, the local group just did the song or just did the play Fiddler on the Roof, and I won't break out in song, but there's a couple of songs that tell us a lot about the culture. One was that matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Well, this was an arranged marriage. The other one that always comes into play that I talk to a young couple about is where the husband comes in one day in the play and says, "Do you love me?" And the wife says, "What?" And of course, at some point they break out into song, and I'll refrain. But you choose to love, and then the emotions follow. And I believe at this point, Joseph had already chosen, maybe long before, he had already chosen to love Mary, to do what was best for her. His world was in pieces. Everything that he thought would happen, everything that he envisioned for 5 years, for 10 years later, seemingly was gone because Mary was with child. But he chose to do what was best for her. He could have made a very public scene out of it. He could have had her stoned. But he was a righteous man, verse 19 says. He was a righteous man. His parents had obviously lived out Deuteronomy 6 in the home. And as Joseph grew up, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." His parents knew. And Joseph came to understand that a righteous life, a life that the Lord can use, takes a lifetime. So the call of Christmas demands a righteous life. I saw just the other day, I don't know where I saw it, I don't know why it was put where I could see it, but I saw the other day a Navy SEAL quote that said, "The more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle." And that is true. Preparation is required. The preparation God is calling you to first is a righteous life. a righteous life. Become like Christ. Think like, act like, become like Christ. That is the aspect where you must put up the sails. Remember the analogy of the three boats. The Christian life is not a speedboat where you just get in and hang on. It is not a rowboat where the harder you work, the faster you go, the farther you go. The Christian life is like the sailboat. Yes, there is work involved. Well, that's too hard. My response to that is if you're making it sound like rocket science, then I disagree with you. If you're making it sound like there's some effort involved, then I agree with you. But it's a sad commentary on our day when an hour's worth of homework a day or an hour's worth of homework a week is too much. That's a sad commentary on our day. A righteous life takes effort. Joseph, no doubt, had been putting forth the effort. But we are to grow to be like Christ. We are to act like, think like, become like Him. So what are you doing to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? I just mentioned the two Bible studies that we're going to be starting in January. Are you going to be involved? Well, I don't have time for that. Oh? How many hours of football did you watch on average this fall? Let me look over here, too. I guarantee you, I got my time in. And so I'm making a value statement. When it comes down to it, I'm making a value statement. Football or whatever is more important than to be like Christ? Do I really want to have to answer for that in front of in the Lord's presence? I mean, face to face when I can see Him? We are to become like Christ. The call of Christmas is to a righteous life. And parents remember that more is caught than taught. They are watching you. Your kids are watching you to see how you react, to see how you deal with things. So as you think about preparing your life so that you would be described as Joseph, a righteous man, never think that it is too late. Never think that it is too late. You don't retire from becoming more like Christ. You don't retire for the living the kind of life that Christ can use. You never are able to walk away and say, I don't have to do that anymore. I've got enough in the bank. You never have enough in the bank in this world. You are to become like Christ. It is not until you take your last breath. So strive toward it. Joy comes from living a righteous life. Joy comes from living the way God intends. The call of Christmas demands a righteous life. The call of Christmas also demands a listening heart. The call of Christmas is a call to watch for God at work, a listening heart. Joseph had made his decision. He had decided to put Mary away, divorce her, as gently as possible, yes, but he had made this decision. He didn't want to disgrace her. And maybe it was the night following the day he had come to this decision, but he goes to bed as usual. He went to bed as usual, but quite an unusual night. He dreamed, which is not unusual. I realize that we dream, what they say, 4 to 6 dreams a night. Every one of us, sometimes we don't remember. I remember it this morning thinking, I'm dreaming. And I couldn't tell you right now what I was dreaming about, but let me tell you, Joseph remembered his dream. God does use dreams. Joseph was certainly not the first biblical account of God speaking in a dream, and he was not the last. Reports are coming in that the Lord is revealing Himself to Muslims through dreams. And I believe it. You think about two situations. One is that they are many of them are illiterate. How's the Lord going to speak to them? And how's the Lord going to speak to them when there is no one there? You know, you think about Lottie Moon. Would I be willing to go to a place like China in that day especially? Because I love Christ that much? But the Lord is doing such things. In Joseph's dream, the Lord was very clear about how he was to proceed. He said, the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And Joseph obeyed. He had a listening heart. The call of Christmas demands a listening heart. I told this story a couple Wednesdays back, but it's a great story. A man was convinced he was losing his hearing. So he goes to the doctor. And after a few moments of examining him, the doctor takes a watch out of his pocket and says, "Can you hear this?" "Yes, I can." The doctor goes to the door of the examining room. "Can you hear it now?" "Yes, I can." He steps into the next room. Door open, yes, but steps into the next room. "Can you hear it now?" "Yes, I can." And the doctor came back in and said to the man, "The problem is that you can't hear. The problem is that you don't listen." So are you listening to what the Lord is saying to you? Another story. For many years, the furniture store that my parents and my brother and I worked for at various times, and my home church rented a one bay in an industrial building there in Lawton. And next door to us, and so what my dad would do would work on the store vehicles and the church buses out there. And next door to us was the UPS hub for Lawton. Well, we got to know, my dad especially, we got to know the mechanic that worked for UPS. One evening we were out there, I was out there with my dad, and he was working on something, and the UPS mechanic walked around just to talk a minute. As he and my dad were talking, something got mentioned about what we were working on. And so he said, "Well, let me look at it or listen at it." And so we started the vehicle, and he took a long screwdriver, and he put one end against the part in suspect and the other end up against his ear. And he listened to two or three different places, and he said, "There's your problem." "Yeah, that's what I thought." You see, he did something to aid his hearing. Have you ever seen somebody singing that would put their hand up like that? That's to help you hear so that you can listen. Do you have a listening heart? Do you have a listening heart? What are you doing to listen to what the Lord will say to you? He may speak to you through a dream, but more likely he will speak to you through his word. Are you in God's word daily? Are you praying for the Lord to speak to you? And remember, the Lord more usually whispers rather than shouts. The Holy Spirit uses a still, small voice. You're hearing God's word this morning, but are you listening? Will you obey what he says to do? Joy comes from a listening heart. The call of Christmas demands a listening heart. The call of Christmas demands immediate obedience. The call of Christmas is a call to respond to what God says. In the dream, the Lord told Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear you a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save their people from their sins." And Sometimes the Bible is written in such a way that we kind of lose track of time. But I don't think he waited a week. I don't think he waited a month. I think it was the next day that Joseph married, as you and I would understand marrying Mary. I think it was the next day that he took Mary as his wife, because he obeyed. He obeyed. And all of this was done to fulfill the prophecy of the virgin being with child, bearing a son. The child's name was Jesus. We know that, which in Hebrew means Joshua, or would be pronounced Joshua or Yeshua, which means God saves. He will save his people from their sin. And in the prophecy quoted in verse 23, the name was to be Emmanuel, God with us. And so when Joseph woke up, he did it. He took Mary as his wife. But Joseph and Mary did not consummate the marriage. They did not come together. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph did what he was told. The call of Christmas demands immediate obedience. You remember the parable Jesus told, commonly referred to as the parable of the talents. To the one, 5 talents was given. To the other, 2 talents. And the last got 1. But each according to his ability, God's word says. And in describing the 2 faithful servants, the word immediately is used. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. Likewise, the slave with 2. Immediately. Both got the same commendation. Well done. Immediately, they obeyed. Immediately, they obeyed. What is it that the Lord is telling you that you are not doing? Maybe you think, well, I'll get around to it. Some of you have around to it. We never get around to things. We do what we intend to do. And that is exactly the point of Christmas. We need to do what God told us to do, just like Joseph. And remember that partial obedience is disobedience. And if God says do something today, don't wait till next week to do it. Do it today. And remember too that Jesus equated loving him with obeying his commands. Immediate obedience. Joy comes when you are obedient to the Lord's command. So how will you respond to the call of Christmas? Are you living a righteous life, a life marked by knowing and loving and following Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? What is your salvation experience? Will you respond to the call of Christmas? Do you have a listening heart? Are you giving him opportunity to speak to you through his word? Will you respond to the call of Christmas? Is your life marked by obedience? The call of Christmas.